Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
All right, today we're going to talk about how we can find out and how much we can find out and what it takes to get there. So let's say in this case, I want to find out at a level of 7. Okay, so I find that level on my graph and I come horizontally to my gradient line. Where it intersects with my gradient line, I'm going to come straight down to where it intersects with my round line. Now there is going to tell me how much I have to round to find out what I need to find out. See, as you can see, the more you round, the more you're going to find out. And also, if you stay down here and you never round, you'll never find out. So I hope this lesson is helpful. Thank you.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio Program is official, and we're going to jump over to our national security expert, former FBI agent and a Marine. He is a dad. He's an upstanding citizen. He's a warrior and a patriot. His name is John Guandolo, and John, out of the gates, as a guy who specializes in identifying threats, jihadi and communist threats that walk among us, that are in the highest echelons and the deepest recesses of our government. How have you been watching all of this crap go down on these college campuses? Have you been looking at taking your popcorn and eating it, watching it, because it's been nuts?
Well, that's an understatement. It's definitely been nuts. I think what's amazing to me is that as we watch this, I'm watching the response from conservatives and people I consider sharp and on the ball, who are putting stuff out on social media like, hey, this stuff's more coordinated than we thought. I'm watching this like, really? 20 years later, you're starting to figure that out. And again, as I've shared with you, maybe I should be, you know, more appreciative that people are getting it. But it's, man, it's I guess the frustrating thing is how slow how long it's taken for the light bulb to go on for a lot of people, and people that are really with good backgrounds that get it. And I think that's the issue is that you've got that, and then you have people that are shocked. Like, people keep asking the question, how did we get here? What's going on?
Right.
I'm like, well, here you go. Here are just 10, just the first 10 that come to the top of my head of Hamas officials, leaders in America, in the Biden administration, working to create policy, working to drive intelligence collection, working to drive prosecutions, and there they are, working right with the president, right with the vice president, right with the national security team, on the security team, national security team. So maybe this is an explanation on why the president is responding the way he is, right? He says one thing, does another. Well, because that's the side he's on. So it's been interesting to watch, but that's not the right adjective. I mean, it's been, for me, a little frustrating, mm-hmm. That people that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, said what I was saying was extreme, and you're making blanket statements about Islam, and you're saying they're working together with communists. They would never work with communists. What are you talking about? Or Iran wouldn't work with Hamas because Iran's Shia, and Hamas is, and this was FBI analysts and agents at the counterintelligence unit at FBI headquarters telling me this, they wouldn't work together because, you know, she and Sunni don't get along, in case you didn't know that, John. I'm like, okay, good luck with that. But this is where we are, is that watching it for me has been surreal.
Yes.
And watching, you know, I have a friend of mine. I'll just tell you this story because this answers your question. He's a good friend of mine, I've known him for, let's say, 35 years, 30 to 30, 33 years. And he did not understand all this. And, you know, 5-6 years ago, he would be like, ah, I just think you're over speaking it. And a light bulb went on for him and his wife because he kept reading. Like, I kept sending him stuff. And he's like, you can keep sending it to me. I'll read it. He's a smart guy, open-minded. And, man, when the light bulb went on, now he's sending me stuff almost every day. Like, here are people saying it today, stuff you wrote in an article in 2008. I'm like, great. And I don't say that so your audience, I mean, I think your audience has kind of figured me out. I mean, I don't say it from an arrogant standpoint. I say it from I know that in human nature, if people have an idea and a belief, it's hard to get them off that until certain things start to impact them, which I think is happening for some people.
But I think that you're getting the curve here. I think the awakening curve is starting to speed up a little bit. I mean, you're getting headlines now that some of these student groups and some of the people on these college campuses have been training with communists in freaking Cuba. Like, this is not surprising to you, John. Is it surprising that some of these lawsuits by the American and Israeli victims of the Hamas terror attack and the slaughter of October 7th. Are you surprised by these?
No, I'm not, because I know some of my colleagues that I've actually trained are working with some of these attorneys. Because some of the attorneys, they still don't know, but what they do know is, like if you read some of the statement of facts on these lawsuits, they're literally laying out the Hamas network, or at least a part of it, in the United States, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And so even if these lawsuits are only they're going to be successful at some level, because they're saying, hey, the Students for Justice in Palestine and the American Muslims for Palestine and these other groups that have formed other groups, like some of these groups are umbrella groups, like the National Students for Justice in Palestine is the national leadership for all the chapters, which are 200 or 300 across the country. And they're probably more, but that's the number we can kind of put our finger on. It's been amazing to watch how they're laying out the network and they're identifying it with their connections with designated terrorist groups like the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, PFLP, or other groups, and how they're tied in with the terrorist group Palestinian Islamic Jihad or Hamas directly, not indirectly, and that the leaders who they name by names like Hatem Bazian and others are literally the founders and leaders of these groups, and how they're all tied in. So they're laying it out in a very clear way for anyone that decides to read these, which people will. This is starting to make the rounds. These lawsuits are starting to make the rounds. They're not where they probably will be in another month, but people are starting to see. And I'm getting questions like, hey, how long are these, you know, when were these groups or how these groups, you know, develop? And when you go back, and here's the point I want to make for your audience. I actually put together with some of my colleagues a chart where you list like the 40 most prominent Hamas Muslim Brotherhood leaders in the United States. And then you list like 50 or 40 of the organizations, and you see that they've all held leadership positions in most of them. So it's all a cover. This is counterinsurgency 101, or excuse me, insurgency 101. This is how you do it. And these are the things, like when I showed to some, you know, military guys back in 2010, 11, when I was working in the DOD, you know, to colonels and 1 and 2 star generals. And there were 2 or 3 things I showed them that when they looked at them, they looked at each other and said, this is an insurgency in the United States. And I was like, right, exactly. And one of those trademarks is they create lots of organizations with the same people leading them. And, so the DOJ keeps going after the organizations, and once in a while, the president or the executive director, but they don't go after the entire crew.
Mm-hmm. One sacrificial lamb.
Instead of taking out the network, right. They're just taking out a paper tiger.
Right, right. And you're not surprised by this when you see that the FBI, your former agency, took a knee to Black Lives Matter, which is communist hook, line, and sinker.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing because just this week, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, is talking about, as he has for the last 5 weeks, increasing Chinese threats to the infrastructure of the United States. And he's like, we're very concerned. I'm like, well, you're not that concerned. Either that, so you're either intentionally supporting communist China, or you're unfit for your job because you're dumb as a cinder block. Because if the FBI director doesn't know that Black Lives Matter has always been a Chinese communist organization that works with other Chinese communist groups like CPA, the Chinese Progressive Association, Asians for Black Lives, all of these are communist Chinese groups, which work with Chinese communist officials at the U.S. consulates here, primarily the one in San Francisco, but others. And this is all part of a larger communist strategy and line of operation. And so on the one hand, the FBI is not investigating BLM at any level, and their agents literally take knees to BLM,
yes,
as they march by, spray painting stuff and burning things down and killing people, while he's complaining, hey, the Chinese are penetrating our system.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, they're right in front of your
no
face.
No kidding, and you're facilitating it. John, I'm going to put you on a brief hold here. When we come back, I want to ask him a question. The whole show today, John, has been about imposters, about Democrats infiltrating the Republican Party, pretending to be Republican. I want John to tell us who he believes the biggest dangers and dangerous imposters are that he sees that threaten us, next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio Program. We are rejoined by our national security expert, John Guandolo. John, I didn't tell you this, but imposters, that is the kind of name of the show today, because I think a lot of folks, whether it was COVID, whether it was October 7th, whether it was Lahaina's fires, whatever, whether it was these campus protests, people are awakening up to the wolves in sheep's clothing. Where you're sitting, who are the most dangerous imposters among us?
Well, I think I start with Republican leadership. My kind of comfort zone in the national security discussion definitely does not fall in like the political realm as it relates to elections, but I think with regards to the topic, the Democrat Party is the Communist Party. I mean, even what I would consider far left media outlets and the traditional media, which is objectively working to support the Democrat Party, that is the Communist Party in the United States. So I want to kind of start there. So nothing that they do should surprise, in my opinion, should surprise the American people. I think it's taken a while. I have some friends of mine who are Democrat who are telling me, I finally understand what you mean. You know, they were 3 or 4 years ago, they were angry with me for calling Democrats communists, but just read their platform. But when you look at the Republican leadership, I think they're the worst wolves in sheep's clothing, because this is the party of Lincoln.
Yes.
This is the party of natural rights and natural law. This is the party that defends the truly liberal ideals, not liberal as we understand it today, but truly liberal ideas of individual liberty, self-government, free market economy, those things, the party of abolishing slavery, as opposed to the Democrat Party, which is the party of the Ku Klux Klan and the opposing the civil rights legislation of the 1960s. And the leadership today, they stand around and they scream a lot and give great interviews and do tough questioning when people come to testify on the Hill. But they're not actually doing anything. And I haven't heard one of them, not one, in, I don't know, 10 years, ever, articulate what we're actually up against. Because we're not up against woke culture. We're not up against crazy educational ideas. We're not up against drag queen shows. We're in a freaking full-blown revolutionary war in America against the communists and the jihadis and non-ideologically aligned nation states and international organizations that are literally bringing the country down. And they're sitting here talking about, well, I'm really glad that we, you know, changed this policy and this is a big victory for us. What in the hell are you talking about? That's like saying, hey, you know, the day after Pearl Harbor, hey, but, you know, we just repainted one of the Jeeps, and so we got that going for us. And this is, it's insane. And they're showing almost zero leadership. And they're chirping about internal politics and things. And it's why, quite frankly, the Republican Party is being used by our adversaries to demoralize the American people more than the actual movements, the Islamic and the communist movements themselves. Because people are still looking to Congress. I don't know why. I don't know how many times you need to be hit in the face with a 2x4 to realize they're not.
They ain't gonna change.
To do it.
They're all right. The same team. That's right. It. John, this must be why you had those four S's on your airline tickets. This must be why you got carved out of the bureau. This must be why you've been targeted for January 6th. Because you went to pray and they went after you. In my final minute, I'm going to give it to you. You see, of course, sir, that we're picking it up. We're getting it. You are making a difference.
Well, I appreciate that. I just still want to encourage people. I'm trying to say it. It's say it as much
local
as I can.
Level.
As publicly
local
loud.
Level. Local level.
Right. Right. Local level. It would be great if Donald Trump were elected president. It would be helpful. It's not going to turn the boat around like everyone thinks it is. If you're still waiting for November, I think you're on a fool's errand. You better roll up your sleeves and get organized. It's why the work that I do is totally focused at the local level. Still answering calls from, you know, people in D.C., you know, and giving them my 2 cents, but I just think it's not effective time. Citizens either take it back or we don't get it back. That's it.
You guys, you just heard the same thing from our friend Phil in Lahaina. Residents in Hawaii are saying they are done. They want their state and their country back. John Guandolo, have a wonderful weekend, sir. As always, it is a delight. Do not go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen, because as we continue, The Great Awakening, comedian Trump hater Michael Rappaport. What would he possibly say that you have to hear? Well, I guess you'll have to hang on for that, because it's next. It was interesting listening to John Guandolo talk about 20 years later, people in his circles, people with whom he has worked, friends of his, finally get to see what he's been talking about. Look, communism and the jihadi thing is not a sexy topic, right? Nobody is signing up to go to a lecture on that. It's one of those things you can compartmentalize and you can say, clearly, somebody on our government will stop something terrible from happening to us. The reality is the people who are going to do things that are terrible to us are in our government. Because their goal is the destruction of America. If you can destroy democracy, the idea of a representative governance, that it's supposed to work that way. If you can blow up Australia, you can blow up England, us, New Zealand, you can blow up specific parts, not literally, but you can destroy the idea of their governance, their constitutions or the basics, their framework of life. Well, then you can run roughshod on anything. And to hear John Guandolo talk about the frustration Yes, it's gratifying to see people awaken. It's so frustrating to hear what they, what they're finally saying, right? Hearing people who have been outspokenly toxic about things that we care about, or people who we believe are part of the solution. Not the whole thing. It's not a one-person thing. It's not a Donald Trump thing. It is a group effort. This is the ultimate team-building exercise. And as John said, this is a revolution. We are in a war. It ain't going on in Ukraine. I'll tell you that much. The war that we are fighting is right here, and the people who pretend to be on our side are lying through their teeth about it. And we can see it. People are awakening in very odd ways. And there takes a degree of grace and humility that is exhausting. Because it sucks always being the one who's demonized. It sucks being lied about, being vilified, being called names. Because it's so stupid. It's so time-wasting when we've got actual, really serious work to do. And it's hard. Forgiving. Or trying to. Because you know you're on the right side. And yet you love the people who do it to you. And you don't want to see them get hurt. The ultimate conundrum. One of the more toxic personalities out there is a dude named Michael Rapaport, comedian, actor. You don't have to know who he is. If you saw his face and you hear his voice, you would know. He hates Donald Trump. He's made a gig, a living off of hating Donald Trump. How many comedians have? But even someone as staunch, who believes he invented the degree of vitriol for this one man, for him to wake up as John Guandolo's inner circle and folks in his auspices have awakened to say, oh my God, you've been saying this to me for years. I see it now. This is amazing. Now, the bleeps, you know, are obviously expletives. There are a heck of a lot of them in this video. But I want to play this for you because it is somebody who has been very, very one-sided, realizing that he's also been very, very wrong. Listen.
Smoking Joe Biden. Cadaver Joe Biden. You know who I am. You know my work. I'm the one who came up with, I'm the one who invented stain Donald Trump. Pig Donald Trump. That's me. That's my work. I didn't ask for a thank you. I didn't ask for an invite to the White House, and everybody and anybody shows up at the White House these days. I did it for the love. I did it for the love because I couldn't stand that and you dumb old you have the you bet old you. You're not sending weapons to Israel during a war while American hostages and hostages from 22 countries are still in that. You're not sending weapons now, you dumb fuck. You, let me tell you something. I never, ever, ever thought I would say this, okay? But I could promise you this right now. Smoking Joe Biden, cadaver Joe Biden, me, Michael Rapaport, I'm not voting for you. You're not getting my vote. And plenty of us also ain't voting for you, you fuck you. I said it once, and I'll say it again. This is why voting for Donald Trump, pig Donald Trump, is on the table.
This is why voting for Donald Trump is on the table. What? It's almost as breathtaking as this woman who looks like she could be shopping at Costco or Sam's Club turns her camera around on herself and says, wait a minute, what's this I hear? Joe Biden has just approved the giving of Social Security benefits to Ukrainian migrants who don't belong here, who've never paid into the system? As we're told, and I'm told at 54, that it's likely I'll never see a damn penny? Listen.
Hey y'all, so I'm in Sam's And I just found something out, and I'm trying to fathom, trying to figure it out. So how is it that the Biden administration has made it possible for Ukrainian refugees to get SSI checks? They're not paying into the system. They're not from this country. They didn't help build this country. So riddle me this. How are they getting SSI checks? You know, the monies that are taken out of every paycheck that we get every time we get a paycheck, that chunk of money that they take. How are Ukrainian refugees getting SSI checks? Make me understand that. Please make me understand that. Because they're trying to work us until we die so that we don't get the SSI check. So how is that happening? Somebody please make me understand, because the math is not mathing.
The math is not mathing. And Brock, what was it that we saw? What were they spending $66 billion on? Do you remember?
That was the cost that we spent on illegal immigrants.
Okay, $66 billion to house illegal immigrants versus the $3 billion spent to house our veterans. Really? That is a government packed with imposters. You know what time it is? It's a good time. I need some good news, baby, 'cause like the world's gone crazy. Give me some good news, baby, give it to me, give it to me. My boyfriend, Steve Hartman, CBS News, takes a trip. And he finds an unlikely friendship born of a single dollar bill. Enjoy.
Inside Buckfeather, an outdoor sporting store in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, we met a great American success story.
Because it's about you.
At 42, owner Matt Busbus and his partners have built and sold several outdoor companies worth hundreds of millions. But Matt says he's never felt richer than he did the day he got the dollar.
I haven't had that much faith in humanity in a very long time.
He says it all began about a month ago. It was early morning, and the fire alarm was going off inside his condo complex. So Matt shot out of bed and raced down the stairs, only to discover there was no fire. But he's awake now. So even though he was wearing mismatched clothes and all disheveled, Matt decided to go out for a cup of coffee. And as he was about to enter the shop, he remembered he hadn't done his morning prayer. So, as the security camera shows, Matt stepped to the corner of the patio.
And I start to slowly open my eyes, and there's a kid coming at me about my height.
And with his fist clenched. So Matt prepared for battle.
And he goes, and reveals a dollar bill. And I go, what?
If you're homeless, here's a dollar.
This is 9-year-old Kelvin Ellis Jr.
I always wanted to help a homeless person, and I finally had the opportunity.
Kelvin says he had just gotten the dollar for good grades. It was the only money he had to his name. Matt was so touched, he invited Kelvin in for a snack, connected with the boy's father, who was next door, and promised to stay in touch.
What's up, dude?
As a reward for his kindness, Matt gave Kelvin a shopping spree. 40 seconds to pick out whatever he wanted in the store, including a new bike. Kelvin says it was great, but definitely not what he wanted to get for his dollar.
What were you hoping would come from that?
Joy.
Joy?
Because I helped someone. Give something away, you feel like you got a lot of things from it.
If you give, you're actually going to get more out of that. I couldn't grasp that as a kid. And if we can spread that around, everything changes.
A dollar. So well spent.
Cheers to friends forever.
Steve Hartman, on the road.
Amen.
In Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Good news is so important. And the stuff is going on everywhere. Everywhere. And it's easy to get bogged down in the suck because we got to share so much of it with you so that you know what's happening. But don't ever lose that faith. And sometimes it comes in a dollar bill. Quick time out when we're back. It's Bad Joke Friday. Don't go anywhere. These are awesome. Next. Wow. Megadeth wrapping up the week. My heavens. Well, you guys know it is now time for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just flew in from New York and boy, my arm's tired. I'm joking, of course. Anywho, welcome to the Comedy Club. Won't you give it up to Wendy and Brock for Bad Joke Friday?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we begin, of course, with Dr. Richard Rafferty from the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh, and he writes this. I was in the mall yesterday, and I walked into the bookstore. I asked if they had President Trump's new book on how to deport illegal immigrants. The clerk said, get the hell out of here and don't come back. My reply, yes, that's the one. Do you have it in paperback? I liked it.
Did you hear about the vet that had to prescribe Viagra to the alligator?
Oh, no.
It had reptile dysfunction.
Oh, gosh. So a recent study found that people who drink their coffee black are more likely to exhibit psychopathic traits. While people who order a quad shot, non-fat, vanilla soy, extra foam, light whip with caramel drizzle are more likely to be their victims.
Ain't that
That's
the truth?
Awesome.
I wasn't originally going to get a brain transplant. Mm-hmm. I feel, well,
uh-oh.
But then I changed my mind.
Oh, gosh. Why are frogs so happy? They eat what bugs them. I know.
Why do people in church say amen instead of a woman after singing the songs?
Mm.
Because they're hymns, not hers. Oh, boy.
So I'm sitting in a bar and two very large women with accents. I know. They're sitting across from me.
Fat shaming.
I know. Stop it. I said, cool accents. Are you two ladies from Scotland? One of them yells, it's Wales, you idiot. So I said, okay, are you two Wales from Scotland? I don't remember much after that.
And that's how the fight started.
That's it.
My wife wanted me to brighten up the garden.
Oh.
So I planted some bulbs.
My wife and I are trying this whole long distance marriage thing. Well, you're already laughing. I haven't even said anything. My wife and I are trying this whole long distance marriage thing. I have to stay 100 feet away from her at all times. Also, the police said I should stop referring to her as my wife.
A man took his wife and mother-in-law to the Holy Land for vacation. After arriving, the mother-in-law fell ill and died. The undertaker suggested a burial in the Holy Land for $200, or he could send her remains back for $30,000. The man, without hesitation, decided to return her remains back for $30,000. Undertaker asked why you would spend all that money. The man replied, a man died here 2,000 years ago and rose from the dead 3 days later. I just can't take the chance. That's horrible.
I am highly suspicious of stairs. They're always up to something. Yeah.
Why was the weightlifter upset?
Why?
He had to work with dumbbells.
Next time you're feeling down, remember that life is all about perspective. I have a friend who has sex 2 to 3 times a day, exercises twice a day, reads 2 books every week, and yet he complains about how much he hates prison.
I was totally not expecting that.
Either.
What do birds give out at Halloween?
Huh?
Tweets.
Bugs Bunny won't accept files through Google Drive. He'll only accept a WhatsApp doc.
It's actually funny.
It's good.
What did one math book say to the other?
Hmm.
I've got so many problems.
True. A man takes his wife to the airport because she's flying to Italy for a business trip. She asked him if he wants her to get him anything while she's there. He gets kind of cheeky and says, how about a little Italian girl? He picks her up in 2 weeks and asks if she brought home his present. The wife said that she did her best, but he needs to wait 9 months to find out if it's a boy or a girl.
I once dated a girl who was a cannibal.
Ooh.
Yeah, I showed up late for dinner one time and she gave me the cold shoulder.
Oh, that's so gross. What do you call a man with a car on his head? Jack.
Oh, God.
I know.
Why can't you ever tell a joke around glass?
Around glass, why?
It would crack up.
I applied to the art school so I could study origami, but they sent me a rejection letter, and I'm not really sure what to make of it.
You'd get your student loan canceled.
Yes, you could.
So what's more impressive than a talking dog?
Huh.
A spelling bee.
On the one hand, I broke a finger, but on the other hand, I'm fine.
Oh, God. So stupid. What kind of jacket does a fart wear? A windbreaker. It's so stupid.
My wife was screaming at the TV, "Don't go in the church!" I said, "What are you watching?" She replied, "Our wedding video."
There's a lot of wife jokes.
I know, what's going on?
What do you get when you mix PMS with a GPS?
Oh, what?
A moody woman that will find you.
That's awesome. What do you call a computer that only types in uppercase? Shifty.
Did you ever see the documentary about beavers? No. It was the best damn show ever.
Why did Tigger stick his hand in the toilet? He was looking for poo.
You got another one?
I do. What do you call a cat that's been thrown in the dryer? Fluffy. Okay. Some were better than
others. Was that really a joke?
Yes. What do you think? I'm lying to you? Honestly? No. How about this one? My girlfriend dumped me, so I stole her wheelchair. Guess who came crawling back?
And that's how the fight started.
Love you guys. Thanks for being here. Have a safe weekend. Come on back. Love you. Peace.